It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here. Brought to you in part by McConnell Buick GMC. And I look over to see my friend, Captain Mike Ward.
Howdy doody.
Yeah, that's good. Because we'll talk about howdy doody this hour. Because we're not talking about great hunting weather. We had pretty decent cold right there at the beginning, like opening weekend.
Yep.
And then there was some, I know, after when I was leaving to go to Pennsylvania, like the day after Thanksgiving, right, it was cold that weekend. And then by the time I got back, it's been,
Yeah, it's been terrible. And this week is not going to be great.
But we got that cold front comes through tomorrow into Monday. Like Monday, Tuesday, to me, looking like might be your better days if you can get free. But then it goes back to, warming up. So
it's fishing weather. And we missed a trip. Me and you were going with Wayne Miller this past Wednesday. And Wayne had some family problems. One of his brothers, I think, had a little issue, and we wasn't able to go. But I'm looking forward to going. Maybe we can plan a trip this next week or so.
I hope so, because it is
because bass fishing's been off the chart.
Yeah, bass fishing's been real good. We're going to talk to Captain Bobby Abrascato later on in the show. This trout fishing has been kind of different because those trout were all down in that deeper water in that winter pattern. We're going to talk winter pattern with them today, but they then in this warm up we've had. Have gotten back out and spread out.
Yeah.
So he's catching them, not in the river channels, but on the ledges around there. And it's a slower bite.
Yeah.
And so you get to hunt and peck and find them.
Yeah, I'd be interested to talk to Bobby about the bird patterns and all that.
It's really kind of come to an end.
Yeah. Huh.
So we did get a little bit of winter fish or fall fishing because we're all we hadn't gotten really anything in the last couple of years. Got a little bit of it and then it kind of went away.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about that with Captain Bobby Abrascato later on in the hour. Yeah, deer report-wise, I don't have a whole bunch. I mean, you and I, right before we started this morning, were looking at pictures and all that. I've got a lot of bucks on their feet at night, some during the day, a lot of scrapes. Now, we talked about that. I'm seeing a lot of scrapes. Now, territorial scrapes, big part of that. You see scrapes in September.
Right.
But
as soon as their horns get hard, they start scraping and rubbing.
But I got these scrapes are maintaining like rut scrapes.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah.
Now,
well, look, it's almost January, so it's time.
And for what it's worth,
and there's some that come in right now.
We see our peak rut activity at least down here at Farmer Hunt in Mobile County. We see it in mid January.
Sure.
So. They're not too far. Last year, the weekend after Christmas, I saw lots of pushing. I mean, not full-on chasing, almost full-on chasing. You know what I'm talking about. Beyond just the normal pushing. Because normal pushing, they'll push them out of a patch and then come right back in and feed. This was pushing them, And then that had a ton of activity then, and then by mid-January, it was wide open.
Well, there'd be one come in heat. And then the bucks will smell that one. They think they're all in heat, and they're not.
Yeah, and that's something we ought to talk. I think we've talked about on shows in the past, but we talk about what peak rut date is. Well, when you say peak anything, peak migration, peak rut, whatever, that means you're looking at a bell curve.
Yeah,
there's some before and some after. It's just the bulk of that rutting activity is taking place either mid January or beginning of February, or it depends on where you hunt. The does have probably had the most trouble. They get beaten up the most are the first and the last
that
come in. There's no one to share
there's
the
not
pressure.
That many of them.
Right, there's no one
during
to share
the peak
the
of it, there's quite a few of them.
Right. But, early on and late, they get a lot of pressure. So, but I'm seeing we got – now I'm just getting this report from friends of mine that have been hunting on my place. I haven't, but the little bucks are, constantly harassing.
Yeah.
But so I don't know what it looks like in your neck of the woods. You said you had bucks coming out in a group the other day.
Did?
When was that?
Yeah, I still have them. I still have them.
Grouped up.
Yeah, grouped up. So, you know, and the last time I checked my camera, I'm like you. I didn't get to hunt this past weekend, yeah. And you didn't either.
Nope.
And it was a terrible weekend anyway. Yep. If you're going to miss one, that was a good one to miss.
Yeah.
But I haven't checked my cameras. My bucks that I had on camera have gone the last time I checked my cameras.
Okay.
You know, 3 weeks before the last time I checked my camera, which was 2 weeks ago, all my decent bucks, no monsters or anything, just decent bucks, there was none of them on camera. So I don't know where they're at.
They'll be back. We talked about last time, too, this idea we get into that if they're not in front of the camera, then they've all gone.
Yeah, no.
And they're
around, yeah. I'm sure. No doubt. Now, my neighbor has killed several deer. He's got a couple kids that hunt across the street from me, and they hammer them, and I don't blame them. I mean, they let the kids shoot about whatever. And so I'm sure they may have killed a couple of the ones I've been seeing.
I want to kind of talk about this next. Maybe we'll get into the show. And by the way, Merry Christmas, coming up next week.
Yep.
So Merry Christmas.
Won't be here that
day. We will not be here. We'll start talking probably that next show then with Jay Graddick again, because we watch him and see what comes into Skinner's Wild Game Process.
When the rut starts.
And get an idea, get some actual like week-by-week updates on that. And once again, if you see rut activity or lack of any kind of version of that, if you want to hit us up by email, sean@fmtalk1065.com. I spell it sean@fmtalk1065.com, or interact with us over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/fmtalk1065outdoors. You can kind of give us an update from your neck of the woods. All right, so we're going to talk some fishing. Captain Bobby's going to join us. I also want to do this, too, with Christmas coming up. These are some outdoors gift items. And you and I have talked about this over the years. I got a few on my list. And these would be things that you can say like jackets and boots and all that kind of stuff, but that may be tough to get somebody to fit. These are things that aren't like size specific.
Yeah.
One thing, and Mike will tell you, I use this like crazy. Now, Mike uses the software similar to this. He is in the business of recreational land sales. I am not, but Onyx Maps, and they're not paying to play here, is something you saw me years ago get when I first went out west to Colorado.
Right.
And I still use it out there and to plan trips, and I was up in Pennsylvania planning trips. I use it every day. Not even a plug line. It's just true. I use Onyx Maps, and that's a gift you could give. You know, if you're going, I don't have time to go to the store, this or that. So if you have somebody, maybe you want to give one membership to yourself or somebody you hunt with or a family member who hunts, you go to, it's onxmaps.com or go there on your phone and get the app. So Onyx Maps gives you two different topo and satellite, but also an integrated topo and satellite.
Right.
And not only can you look at the land, you can just click on there and it shows you who the landowner is. Right. Any kind of information around there. And there's a bunch of more filters where they...
Well, you can put mark your tree stand and mark your route. You can put a tracking on there.
Mike laughs at me because you look at a piece of property of ours and it's nothing but
you can't
nothing
see,
but icons.
You can't see nothing but map. I mean, deer stands and where you're feeding and cameras and everything else. I just actually just put Onyx on my phone this past week.
You like it?
I haven't really used it that much. I've been using another app called LandGlide that we've been using.
And that's kind of an industry
for our
thing.
Business. Yeah. But I do like that. I like the things you can do. You can draw on that. You can put your stands in certain places. And there's a lot
Let's
of things you can do.
Let's stop for a second and talk about draw on that.
Okay.
This is and I've talked about it on the show before, but this is something super important. How many times have we said, that patch is probably, that's probably half acre. How much that patch probably an acre and a quarter, right?
Yeah.
You just it's probably. I tell you what you do. So you go to your property where your hunting lease is or property you own, and you use Onyx, and you can draw this. Google Maps had a thing. I think they could. Or Google Earth had a thing like this, but this is integrated with what you do on Onyx. And there are other ones that,
Google
do
Google Earth can do it.
There's other things you can do, but go do that and actually see how big your patches are before you buy fertilizer, lime. Seed, there's a patch you always thought was a half acre.
3 acres?
Yeah, acres is acre and a half.
Yeah. Or acre?
Yeah. I mean, because we've all done it. I'm not pointing fingers.
Oh, no, I've done it.
That patch down there is half acre. Then you find out, that's 3/4 of an acre. So you can go and, put little points on and draw out around the patch and see how big it is. Or, if you're looking at how long a shot would be. Well, if you sit in the stand, everybody say, you have a 500-yard shot. Well, you can use a line drawing distance to see if that's
true. Right. You don't have to take your range finder with
you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one thing about, you know, because I have rangefinders, but people will hunt with me and they'll be like, you don't have a rangefinder here? I said, I don't, because I know that that right there is 200 exactly. That right there is 330 exactly. Yeah. That, you know, so we're like, if I have on a power line or something. So that's a good thing. Put on my list too, headlamps. This is the thing, because if you have children and you have headlamps, well, you don't have headlamps anymore. You need to buy in bulk because they all run away. But to me, that's it's a thing I use duck hunting, fishing, deer hunting. A headlamp, you're talking about when the straps on, you know, they make them light and small. Right. Three AAA batteries in them and you're good to go.
And
that's the thing I keep in my bag. And bright.
LED, they're light. They're bright.
You know, so heck, that's why I drive
my deer.
My bad boy buggy continues to blow up lights, headlights, so I drive it with a headlamp.
Yeah.
That's what I drive it with. So headlamps, I mean, there's a bunch of different brands out there. Some are better than others, but it's a good gift idea because they're not, you can find them not super expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And buy those for
a
folks.
Good one. Yeah, you can buy a pretty good one for $20, $30.
Yep. So that's just a good idea, I think, for gifts. A thing I talked to you about before, it's called Phone Scope. S-K-O-P-E.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a, so if you'll go, and once again, I mean, this is just things that I use, you know, and I'm not on their pro staff, but things that you, so Phone Scope lets you take your telephone and put it on your spot and scope or your binoculars or other things. So think about this. So you want to show the picture of your buddy, the buck that the field he didn't hunt that you can see from 600 yards away, and the biggin got out there that evening, and you're like, he was out there. Oh, yeah, without pictures isn't true. Well, mine fit on a pair of 15 by 56 binoculars I have.
Yeah.
And it's a plastic doomahickey that has one end that fits the lens of a Vortex 15 by 56. The other fits an Android S8 Plus or whatever my phone is. And that way, when you put them on, you can open up your picture, your camera on your phone, and there you're looking, you have all the magnification of those optics you already own, and you can even zoom in more with a digital zoom and get more out of it.
And then how do you hold your binoculars and take the picture
what
off
I do with
time?
Mine, because I these are a big set of binoculars, and you know, the more magnification, the more herky-jerky they are. I have them on a tripod.
Okay. That works great if you got it on a tripod.
But you could put them on a windowsill of a shooting house or something. I mean, if you're going to magnify a bunch, it's going to be herky jerky. So you want to, you know, you want to put it that way. But spot and scope, anything you have that way with magnification, your scope, your rifle scope.
Yeah,
you could put it on your rifle scope, and you look through. And when I've done it with rifle scope, too, you can see the crosshairs and the whole nine on there. So you, even if you want to take your own video, you could do it like that with the crosshairs on them. I could have shot this one. So just something to look at. Phone Scope, S-K-O-P-E, if you look online.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know what their turnaround time is right now. Replaceable blade knife kits. This is the newest thing. My grandfather is going to come back from heaven and kick my butt because he taught me as a young man to, you know, how to sharpen knives and do it properly. But it sure is easy just to pop in a new blade.
You're talking about the razors.
Well, there's a bunch of different makes. So
there's razors and then there's regular knives.
Well, there's Outdoor Edge makes them. Havilon is a company that I use.
Havilon makes them.
And you pop the new blade in there, and they're razor sharp.
Yep.
And
well, they're razor.
They're razor blades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think they have a little bit more beveled edge than a razor blade, because a razor blade would like get dull and 2 seconds, but they're razor sharp, we should say.
But you can resharpen them. You can resharpen them. Okay.
Don't shame me.
Saying you can't. You can after you use one.
Yes.
And replace it. Put a fresh one in there. Replace that and put a fresh one in.
Sharpen them.
Go sharpen them.
You know what's nice about it is, even unless you're perfect on your knife sharpening, when your knife is not sharp, it's when somebody kills a deer. And you get up to the skin and shed, and you're like, who's got the – oh, come on. Yeah. Oh, I meant to get it sharp last weekend, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So you pop one of those blades in. There's a bunch of different makers, but replaceable blade knife kits I think are a great gift. Also, you know, binoculars out there, that brings up a large conversation out there with binoculars and so many different ones. Yeah, we can talk forever, but, you know, we'll probably do an optics show here in the future and talk more about that. But that's a good thing to think about for gifts out there. And also the cameras. So when we come back from the break, I'll talk a little bit more about, you know, we've gotten in this conversation quite a bit. There are so many cell cameras out there, and really, I would say affordable. I don't know if that's fair, because affordable versus what, but not as expensive as they used to be, cell cameras. So we'll talk about those and come right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you here. And another thing, too, before I get back into the gift ideas and forget this, it popped up on my phone the other day because Alaska's lottery was their big game lottery because they're the first. Oddly enough, they're the first. It's not surprising because their seasons start before most places, but I think you have the end of this month or something to get your applications in if you're trying to get an Alaska hunt. But that brings up this subject I've talked about a few times, and maybe we'll get Trail Kreitzer or somebody in from Go Hunt here soon. If you're putting in, whether you're thinking about bow hunting for big whitetails in the Midwest, or you're talking about a Western trip like these trips I've done and all that, starting in January, February, March, these are your – you have to put in for a lottery. If you miss the date, you can't go.
You're done.
There's some places you have over-the-counter and can do things like that.
Alabama, Mississippi.
Well, and you can do over-the-counter elk in places and over-the-counter deer in some units. But if you want to get these good units and the lottery draw, this all starts right now.
Yep.
It's the thing that's always driven me crazy about the SHOT Show, right? That y'all go out to the SHOT Show.
Yeah.
And the SHOT Show is when?
Right in the middle of the rut.
Right.
So, like the 20th of January.
It's always and it's because it's oriented to these people from the Midwest, Northeast, and out West. Their hunting seasons are all over.
Yes, all over with,
And we're just getting into it. So,
I mean, that's our rut just started.
I mean, that's the thing.
Been way over with.
That's always the thing. I mean, I want to go to SHOT Show one day, but I'm always like, but that's in the middle of the rut. I don't.
Yeah. Same way with like the Miami Boat Show.
Yep.
Same thing. Usually it's during hunting season or maybe the week after or so.
But know this, so if you want to go do things out west, you know, do different hunts, you got to look at your states. I mean, there's a lot of services now that can help you with it, but go look at your states and see where you want to go, what you want to apply for, and be ready because it'll happen fast. Christmas and New Year's will pass, and all of a sudden you'll be up against deadlines. It'll be Mardi Gras, and you go, oh, crap, I need to put in for mule deer in Idaho or whatever
If you're planning on doing a trip, you have to do that.
And
you
know, even for states like if you're going to Kansas or something, you gotta have it put in.
Even though 6 months from then, whenever you have to apply, that you're going to go hunting, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you might break a leg or whatever might happen.
But you got to put in.
But you got to put in. Yeah, you will not get it. It's going to cost you money. So it's just what you got to do if you want to hunt out.
That's right. That's the game. And here's how they in certain states. I mean, it depends on the state. There's difference, but you usually have to buy a hunting license. And you can buy some places like a small game license or a cheapest out-of-state license to get you in. But check your regulations. It's not the same in every state. And then you put in the lottery, and then if you're – and they charge you for it as if you got the tag.
Yeah.
When you don't get the tag, they credit your credit card back for the money. So
Right.
In some states. Some states now don't do that. They've changed – I'm saying, get online, start studying, y'all. It's a little bit complicated. It's not impossible, but you got to be thinking about it. Where do you want to go? What trip might you want to take? And what's the deadline to get a license there?
Yeah, I mean, you're doing all this way ahead of time. It might cost you $400, $500, $600, $700, and then something might happen. You might not get to go. But one thing, sure, you won't get to hunt if you don't have it.
Right. But and a lot of states have turn back tags. So if something like that happens, you turn it back in and you get credited. You'll end up paying something.
Yeah.
You have to get a hunting license in that state of some sort, and you end up like – there's like a lot – they're not all the same, so I feel I'm kind of trying to cover my butt.
Yeah.
But some states, you're going to get – let's say the license is $390 to apply for that thing, whatever it would be. $10 of that is application fee. You'll get $380 back if you don't get drawn.
I got you.
And if you turn your tag back in, if you broke your leg or something, you'll get $380 back. But they'll keep 10. So you're, but expect
it. Well, that's not bad. I mean, that's pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is the other thing. Here's a pro tip. Make sure you got room on the credit card after Christmas to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, you get credited the money back, but it sits on that credit card for a second. So make sure that Santa gets a little room on that credit card to be able to put in for tags.
Elsewhere. Absolutely. Because I don't want to have to go pull that money out and there's nothing there. You won't get a tag.
That's right.
Yeah.
So make sure you do that. All right. And I mentioned here just quickly before we go to the break to talk about cell cameras out there. You know, we talked about it in the show before, but these are great gift ideas. And while I'm a CuddyLink fan, there's a bunch of other manufacturers out there. SpyPoint I use as well. You know, the CuddyLink would be a tough gift to give unless they're, you know, you got a bunch of money and they're pretty special because the entryway into the CuddyLink's about $750 to get the Send camera, and then they package it with two of the drones, of the, right. you know, the ones that are connected to it.
And that's the ones that use cell service.
Right. Well, yes. Okay, so Cuddy Link that I use, it has one camera has cell service, and then the other 15 are connected to it through Bluetooth or their proprietary wireless.
Right.
That connects those cameras, and
so
they all
feedback.
You're
only paying one cell service that's instead of paying 15 cell service.
Correct. Now, now SpyPoint, I run some of those too. Those are really, the price has been right. I've seen them $149 here lately. But they're one at a time, you know, and they're going to send, you're going to pay per camera. But if you're just getting into this and just seeing if you, you know, want to get a cell camera, they're a value, man. I mean, even though I got all these Cuddy Links, I have Spy Points because they're a value. $149. I say value. They don't cost as much as others.
So how much a month on the service?
It depends, Mike. You can go as high. I think the there's like a $5, $10, and $15 a month. $15
so
is unlimited,
maximum,
I think.
You get 15.
Yeah, is the unlimited. Which, unless you have it on some trail, unless you have your delay set to 5 minutes and on some trail that only gets used by a buck every other Thursday, you better get the unlimited because it'll fill up and then you'll be frustrated. You have to. But those are good gifts out there.
Can you cancel the service when it's not deer season?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, then that's not too bad.
No, you can cancel the service. Absolutely. You can turn it on and turn it off.
Or if you're like me, you forget to do it.
To the point that they put an ad out the other day. And it's funny. It's just like what you and I were talking about, how much of the focus of the hunting world is on the Northeast, Upper Midwest, and Out West. It said, I think I got it during Thanksgiving or something. It said, now that deer season's over, don't turn off your camera. Think about all the other, you know, they're trying to sell for people to keep it on because they're trying to you pattern bucks and see what you didn't kill and all, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think in those places, you know, come December, they're all getting turned off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can do that here as well. And they're, you know, they're if you want to kind of dip your toe in the water, Moultrie makes one. There's a bunch of people making individual cell cameras. The two I talk about are just the ones I'm familiar with. I use and SpyPoint's that $149 camera, and I've got them. I use them. My phone is full of pictures from them right now. So you know, I use those as well.
So there's only one that you know of that uses one camera to talk to the other cameras.
Yeah, that I know of.
That's not Moultrie's.
No, it's Cuddy Link.
Cuddy.
There may be others that do that networking. I don't know about it, but Cuddy Link is. If you got a piece of property and you want to run a ton of cameras and save on your monthly, go Cuddy Link. If you want to just try out this stuff, SpyPoint is probably the best way to get started on that. All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, one of our favorite people on planet Earth, joining us.
Captain Bobby. Our most favorite.
Captain Bobby Ambruscato from 18 Fishing. You know, I was thinking, we were talking earlier in the show, gifts for the outdoors out there.
Yeah.
I talk about this on that midday show I've got, too. A gift certificate to go fishing with this man is a pretty darn good gift. Do you have, hey, Bobby, do you have supply chain issues getting those gift certificates out?
We have resolved them. We can get you a certificate right now. We have resolved the supply chain issues, which basically means that Miss Kim's back in the office and she can shoot it to you.
So they were not sitting on a container over in Long Beach, California, waiting to come in.
No problems there.
Good. Oh, and talk about and quickly, actually, and we'll get back to it. But if somebody's listening to us right now, wants to get that gift certificate, how do they do it?
Just go to ateamfishing.com, all one word, ateamfishing.com, and there's a Contact Us tab, and you can just shoot us your, if you want to send us their name, she customizes it for you and all that sort of thing. And then you just book your trip. You don't even pay us until you actually get your trip in. It's called the A-Team Layaway Program.
I like it. It's right in my wheelhouse. Man, you know, it's last time we talked, we were talking about fall fishing. I want to just do a little maybe post-mortem on that, although maybe not, because this is winter time here. You know, it's going to be Christmas, but I've sure spent a lot of time in shorts lately.
No, I was thinking when you were talking about that, I'm standing here while I'm talking to you in shorts and a T-shirt outside, you know. But
I'm just glad you got clothes on, Bobby.
Yeah, but I hear you. Well, hey, you know what? That's one of those kind of things that probably a lot of people can't unsee, so let's not bring that up.
But, I mean, as we look at this, okay, quickly, we'll just spend a minute on this. Fall fishing as we know it is, you think, done for the year?
Well, I would say that, but the fishing that I've been doing for the last month or so has been what I would consider more like a, what I'd call October fishing, which is, you know, flats fishing, edges of the channel and that sort of thing. So, you know, I like to think that, and, you know, what, a couple of three weeks ago, we got up in the morning, we're fishing, we had ice on the deck of the boat, and 2 days later, we're back in shorts again. So, gosh, I don't know, man. You might have to call in Dr. Bill to answer that question right there.
So with that transition, something you've taught us over time, that quit looking at the calendar and look at the water temperature. So
Right.
Yeah. So what is that magic number where you'd say we're moving from fall to winter fishing?
62 degrees is when the water temperature gets to 62 and stays at 62 is the magic number. That's when those fish really seem to kind of go into that full wintertime pattern, which means that they're staying in the deepest water they can get to, depending on what system they're in, but they're going to be in the deepest water they can get to. You know, with that, you're throwing jigs or grubs, soft plastic baits, jigging on the bottom and that sort of thing. Sometimes maybe fishing the ledges, but very rarely out on the flats. You know, they don't venture out there when the water gets that cold. And when I say 62, it's 62 and dropping, you know, so you're down in the 50s. And we've had days, you know, in the last month or so to where we've gotten down in the mid-50s, but it just doesn't last very long. So anyway, that's a long answer question, but 62 degrees is the number.
Okay. So water temperature goes down below 62. We're in this. They're in the deeper water. It comes back up, and you said we're in this, like, October, early November thing. Is if somebody's fishing a pattern, let's say the Delta, okay, and that fishing has slowed down considerably for them, are they to believe that the fish have left, or do you think they're just more scattered?
No, and that's a great question, because no, they don't. You know, and I don't want to make it sound like they leave and that it gets any tougher. It's just you're kind of more back to that springtime or fall, whatever you want to call it, which are mirror images of each other, pattern to where those fish aren't gathered up. You know, where they're a lot easier to catch because they get gathered up and you find them and you can really catch them, you know, because they get so balled up and there's competition, that sort of thing. But no, they don't leave. And you'll see it happen. You mentioned the Delta. I mean, I'm, you know, just kind of like it was 2 weeks ago today or yesterday, I guess. We had three days of epic wintertime fishing. It was freezing cold, and the fish that we were on, you know, in the bays like Grand Bay and those areas, you know, fell off into those river channels. And, man, it's just a blast. You sit there with the trolling motor on spot lock and just literally catching, you know, two guys or three guys, catching them every cast once you found them. But, you know, and then it warmed right back up. So you know, they don't. And then and when they warmed back up, you know, a week later, we were fishing basically the same area, but drifting, the 4 to 7 foot flats on the edges of that channel, catch them. And I know it was the same fish, and that's just all they do. You know, don't ask me why. The shrimp were still, you can still see some shrimp, which was another thing, speaking of that, too. But as you well know, Sean, especially up there, once we get, you know, a couple good cold snaps, the shrimp fall out of there. There's mm-hmm. no shrimp left. But we were seeing shrimp 2 weeks ago, not just a few shrimp, I mean a lot of shrimp, and that's what those fish were keying in on, you know. But they're out there, you know, when it warmed back up, they're just pushing out back out on the flats, chasing those shrimp again.
That's a good story, too, because I went to get some shrimp. The last couple of weeks, I went twice to get some shrimp. And I usually get the U-12s, which is, you know, 12 to a pound, the big ones. I try to get big ones and freeze them. Anyway, the lady told me they had not hardly gotten any U-12s in, and that's unusual. Usually in the middle to the end of October, 1st of November, you know, to the middle of November, that's when they catch a ton of the big shrimp. They're not catching them this year. Now, have they not fallen out? That's a question I'd ask you. You might would know. Have they fallen out of the river yet because we haven't had the coup snaps?
I think, you know, you get probably a combination of a couple of things. We were, you know, just hoping and praying for, you know, some dry weather to have a good Delta this year, a good Delta season. And we got the dry weather part. And so they didn't get flushed out from that standpoint. But, you know, when you get those cold, I mean, sure enough, cold snaps, that's when they start to fall out of there, and we haven't had either one of those. So, yeah, I would say that's probably exactly what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So Let's talk about this, though. Let's look forward to the fact that it will at some point get back cold, get back under 62 degrees. So we'll get our march, get ready for that before that happens. You talk about slick lures a lot. And when you do the fishing report with us this last week, you're talking about catching them on slicks. People hear slicks and like, oh, like a fish slick? Now, what is a slick lure?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing when we talk about that because we're talking about two different things. We're talking about a lure called a slick lure, and then we're talking about a fish slick. And but the slick lure, if you're and we all are familiar with a mirror lure, you know, the ones we all grew up with, the slick lure is a, you know, the easiest way to explain it is like a soft mirror lure. It's mm-hmm. like if you're a bass fisherman, some of the bass guys call it a swim bait or similar to a swim bait. I think it's more of a jerk bait, but anyway, and that's what it is. And it's just basically like a, or the other thing you could say is it's like a soft mirror lure or a giant grub.
So, yeah.
I don't know how you want to describe it, you know, but it's a big old rubber lure that you put a swim bait hook in and fish it just like you would fish a mirror lure or maybe a Rapala type of jerk bait or something like that. And just an incredible lure for catching, you know, I'm sure it will catch a lot of species of fish. I'm sure it would catch something other than inshore saltwater fish like trout and reds. But, man, you're talking about an imitation of a fin fish like a mullet or a pogie. It does the job, and it's a real functional lure, too, as opposed to, you know, we were talking about the mirror lures. You're talking about a lure that's got two or three treble hooks on it, and this thing, you actually can rig it, and you really need to rig it weedless so it can be pulled. The hook's hidden. Use a belly weight, like a swim bait hook on it that's got a belly weight. And so the lure just set up to swim very natural. It doesn't sink head first or anything like that. It kind of flutters down. But when you get this happened the other day, we were throwing topwater or trying to throw topwater early one morning. We'd caught some fish the day before, and we'd had a little storm or something blow through. And you guys know when you fish these rivers, a lot of times you get a storm blows through or even people just blowing leaves in their yard in these smaller rivers, you get a lot of leaves, pine straw in the river. Well, you start trying to throw a topwater bait or a sinking mirror lure or a rattle trap or something like that with treble hooks on it, you get grassed up as soon as it hits the water. Well, this thing pulls right through it. So there's some functional aspects to it, too, you know. But anyway, just an incredible lure. You know, and I always say this, and even said to the fellow that owns the company, I mean, I stumbled across the thing, and I'm not sponsored by them or anything. I don't care whether you use them or not. I tell everybody, but I'm just telling you, if you want to catch trout during the fall and winter on that type of bait, you need to try these things out. They carry them at McCoy's. He calls me and asks me about the color selections. He's got all the good color selections and everything, and it's just a wonderful lure to catch fall and well, really all year long, but fall, winter time, and springtime trout. It's a killer lure.
That's what I wanted to get into too.
Sounds like a stocking stuffer.
Yeah, it is a stocking stuffer.
That's right. That's a good one, man.
Yeah,
but you know, I always got to nerd out on everything. We got about a minute and a half before we go to the break.
Out.
But you catch. I know. I've seen you use them year round, catch fish. But I wonder if it's not that transition. Going from fall, we just said the shrimp are dropping out. So what's left? You know, what those trout that have been in those rivers now the shrimp are dropping out. They're still hungry. It's got to be the finfish that are left, and that makes such a good mullet.
That's all that's left.
You know,
yep, that's all that's left, and that's exactly why I think that's a lot of the reasons. And I think that's why I catch the least on that type of lure during the summer, you know, late spring, summer, and early fall, because there's so much shrimp in our system. But this time of year, or, you know, when we get to whenever it happens, the shrimp get out of here, they really get keyed on finfish. And so, and that's why I think that thing works so well. Not that a mirror lure or any of those other kind of baits wouldn't work so well. Just this thing has got so many features that make it, you know, attract the fish and make them more catchable than some of those true hard baits with the big hooks on them.
Yeah, and it's what they're eating.
Yeah, a lot rather deal with one hook than I had. Three treble hooks.
Oh, they're fun
to
throw.
You know, and that's a whole other point right there you're talking about, too, you know, is dealing with all of that stuff.
No, they're fun to throw, but I just the nerd portion of it is the fact that it's matching. You know, the shrimp are now less and less and less and less, and they're dependent on bubble hat, you know. Yeah, so match the hat. We're coming right back. More with Captain Bobby Abrascato of the A-Team right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and our man, the main man from A-Team Fishing, Captain Bobby Abrascato. Talking some winter fishing. Got about 7 minutes left here. As we're right now kind of not in winter fishing because of the warm weather we've had, but we just talked about cold front coming through. Got tomorrow night, tonight, tomorrow, into Monday, Tuesday. So do you think it... Do they return back? I mean, you said it's don't just look for 62. Look for 62 and dropping, right?
Dropping and stay in there. You know, you get, you get where it drops down and it just, you know, shoots right back up in a day or two. It really gets good when it gets under 62 and just stays there, you know, until next spring, you know, or whatever. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? We're getting these situations where we're getting like 2 days of cold water and then it just warms right back up. And I think... You know, the combination of that, you know, just that in itself happened kind of confuses everything, you know, where you're getting, you know, cold for a couple of days and then it warms right back up and then you get, you know, 3 or 4 days or 5 days of warm and it gets cold again. And I think that just, you know, I always feel like they just have to get kind of set up to their feeding pattern. And so you got a day or two of maybe of that type of thing happening on top of that, you know. So, you know, I think if we can just get it where it'll just get cold or do one of the other things, I don't care what it does, just do it today. You know what I'm saying?
But are we scouting right now? Like, let's say we go out today and it's warm and they're scattered like you talk about, you've been talking about. Is there anything to know that, okay, if we can stay on those fish, we do get these cold fronts, we do have what you're talking about, 62 and dropping and stays there, that those fish are going to be... Are they going to be close when they go to deep water? Are they going to be close yep. to where we were catching them before?
Yep, they're going to be close to it. They're going to be close to that. To, you know, they're going to be, you know, the river systems, and they're going to be close to where the river channel is, whether it be, depending on whatever river you're in, whether it be the delta or the other rivers, they're going to be close to that, and they're going to fall right back into that deep water. I don't know if it's an instinctive thing, it's a bait thing or whatever, but, you know, I truly feel like that when you've got that narrow water column, a shallow water column, it cools off so fast. And you know, if they get out there caught in those shallow water columns, you know, there's a chance that, you know, what happened out in Texas mm-hmm. is you get these bad freezes and it actually kills them. And I think they instinctively know that. We're fortunate here in Alabama that we talking about that versus the Texas fishery. That we have that deep water situation they can get to. What happened out there is they had that extreme freeze and that, you know, there's just such a vast area of real shallow water. A lot of their fish got caught in that real shallow water and it killed them, you know, and, so I think that's, you know, partially what happens, you know, then you get that narrow water column just, you know, where you get the other thing that happens when we get these blue northers blow through, it blows all the water out of
yeah.
you. There's just literally no water left for them to be out there.
Yeah, it's like, I like it's catching fish in a barrel. Put them in less.
Yeah.
But so, I mean.
Well, and what you just described it perfectly. That's wintertime fishing there is fishing in a barrel because it narrows up. It narrows down the area that they're at. They gather up in it. The bait gets out of there and you got more competition in the schools and it's just quite, you know, again, it's not like the fish aren't there right now, but they gather up. It just makes them a little easier to catch when they get gathered up like that.
No, they're not in that grass flat because that grass flat's up on land.
grass flat you could drive over with your lawnmower.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and would you, if you're catching those fish scattered like you're talking about right now, somebody goes out today and they are finding a few fish scattered in some of the dead-end rivers or in the delta, and here comes the blue northern cold front, would you pick up looking for those fish in the nearest available deep water? I mean, would Bobby Abrascato start right there?
That's exactly where I'd start. And then you just kind of figure it out from there. And then, you know, when you get into those river channels too, the other thing that happens is you get a lot of current movement that helps helps you move through those systems, you know, through that part of the river system that you're in, to help you locate those fish. So it can be done fairly quickly, you know, and you know what it's like when you find them. It's a bonanza, you know, and so, yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Bobby, is there any looking for bird schools right now, or slicks or anything as warm as
the weather? Normally, I would say yes. You know, I mean, normally I would say no, but now this right now with the spinny shrimp or anything, the birds are diving on shrimp, and I would say, you know, by mid-December, you know, almost the third week of December, you know, the shrimp are gone. So you would think, no, you're not going to have bird activity diving on shrimp. But right now, I still think there's a lot of shrimp in the rivers, you know. So, yeah, you could. But if we were, you know, last year, 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, I would say, nah, man, the bird activity's gone. You got to get out in the channels and drift until you find them. But now I would keep my eyes open for some bird activity.
Have you seen any of that lately?
As a matter of fact, I have. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just talking the trip we had a couple weeks ago. I saw some birds, and said, there's no way that could be on shrimp. Well, then there would have been birds diving right where we hit our fish because there were shrimp all over the place, but the birds weren't going to come near the boat. Or I would have had bird activity. When I looked up the river a little ways, I did see birds doing what they do when they see shrimp, which is hovering and then diving real quickly on them.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's, you know, and then I saw some in one of the dead-end rivers, the tidal rivers, just this past Saturday. I saw some birds diving on shrimp. And that should have long since been gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've been lucky, too, that they haven't gotten flushed, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that fresh water hadn't flushed.
Right, because obviously we hadn't had any rain. One of the other things, just on top of all of that, I was talking to some commercial fishermen that were looking for some the mullet. What happens when the other thing that gets out of here when we get a really hard cold snap is the mullet in these tidal rivers. And I'm running up a river. I picked up a customer yesterday up river, so I'm running up before daylight up the river by myself in the dark. And I'm telling you, dude, it got scary with the mullet hitting the side of my boat. There were so many mullet in the river. When I'm running up there, and I don't know if they hear the boat coming.
Oh, yeah.
See the light.
The light.
And they're bouncing off the side of the boat. And I was like hiding behind my windshield.
But that's like a
windshield going like, man, I'm going to. So when I got in, though, that day, I was talking to some commercial fishermen that came in at the same time I did. I said, have you ever seen this many mullet in the rivers this time of year? And they were going, never. We've never seen. We've been waiting for them to come out of the rivers for 3 weeks now, and they won't come out of the rivers just because we had any cold weather.
That's exactly right.
Bobby, tell folks once again, website to get more information and book that trip. Get that gift certificate that's not blocked up by the supply chain. How do they do it?
ateamfishing.com is our website, you can hit us there. And then we're also on Facebook at ateamfishing and Instagram at ateamfishing.
Love it. You're doing good stuff there. Captain Bobby, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank y'all. Y'all too, and to your families and our listeners too, Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Bobby.
Merry Christmas. There he is, Captain Bobby Abrascato of the A-Team, and we'll do it all again next week. Except it'll be delayed because of Christmas, but we'll explain it then.
That's right.